Mr. Alpsikin, I assume that despite the Chinese government's information blockade, you are in touch with fellow countrymen in East Turkestan. What's the latest information you have?
Now, we have been receiving information since this morning from various channels, you know, various sources in Eastern Turkestan. The situation is very tense. There have been curfews in Urumqi, Ili, Kashgar, Khotan, and Yarkand. They have doubled the security forces around in these cities. And during the night, nobody is going out, cannot go out. And armored vehicles, tanks are rolling around. But and the security forces in many cities now going to house search, arresting, detaining young men and women who might be able to, who might have take part in demonstrations, detaining. And mothers and sisters and grandmothers, they are all on the streets, you know, looking after their son. They want them to be released immediately. Until now, they say, some say 2,000, some say 1,500 young people have been arrested throughout many areas. Now, the Chinese living in the neighborhoods, they have taken the streets. In a Shingo, near Urumqi, there's a Chinese settlement there. A couple of thousand Chinese live there. Now they are with sticks in their hands. They're marching down to Urumqi and smashing windows and shops and everything belong to Uyghurs. And on their way, they have also beaten up several Uyghurs, accidentally ran into them.
We've also got this report that Han Chinese went out to the streets, and some of them even carrying weapons. And
exactly.
What's the reaction from the troops, from Chinese troops located there?
Well, until now, nobody tried to stop them. And the Chinese are mostly retired Chinese soldiers, or People's Liberation Army officers or soldiers. So they run their own farms, they run on their own the business there, and they are all under weapons. And they control most of the fertile land in Eastern Turkestan, and where the land is not fertile, given to the Uyghurs, most of the fertile land, they live on the most fertile land with the weapons. That's what they call them, bintuan, or the retired Chinese officers, soldiers from the People's Liberation Army.
Chinese government still keeps saying that all the violence was instigated from abroad, namely by World Uyghur Congress. So the scale of protests hint that there might be other and completely different reasons for this violence.
For the last 60 years, China has been blaming for all turmoil which took place in Eastern Turkestan from outside forces. In the 1950s, they blamed the agents of the American paper tigers. So they treated us American. In the 1960s, when they broke with the Soviet Union, they treated us the puppets of the Soviet hegemonists. And then later on, splittists, fundamentalists, separatists, counter-revolutionaries. And then after the barbaric attack on the United States of America in September 11, 2001, they discovered the word terrorism. And then since then, they're using the word terrorism. And all Uyghurs who demand to live with dignity are treated as terrorists. That's the problem. Now, if that would have been, they claim that, you know, this recent events had been orchestrated by foreign forces or Rabia Kadir living abroad. It is all lie. Then someone should ask the question, you know, in a factory, Uyghurs are working, have been beaten to death. They have been chased on the streets and beaten to death by the Chinese mobs. Now, who has instigated that? We cannot have instigated that from outside. You understand me? So this is the problem we are faced with the Chinese. Whatever your brand suits the Chinese to further the Chinese interests, they call us with that name. And now, the being a Muslim, terrorism suits as a good brand for the Chinese to
Can you say me what's the real challenges, real problems ordinary Uyghur citizen have in own native land, in Urumqi, for example, or in Kashgar?
Let me just start with 60 years. Uyghurs are going through a hell of a life. Now, population transfer is there. And of course, of birth control among Uyghur is there. Uyghur literary language is being systematically sinicized. Schools, all schools, Uyghur schools are being closed, and all, you know, instructions are carried out in Chinese at the moment. So, and Uyghurs, 90% of Uyghurs are jobless, unemployed. Chinese who immigrate to Eastern Turkestan, there are no unemployed among them. Now, the rich resources, Eastern Turkestan is rich with oil, gas, and so on and so forth. But not even 1% of the riches has been distributed to the Uyghurs. So the people now, and then the Chinese, when they are in China, they are, you know, obliged to have one child. But if they immigrate to Eastern Turkestan, they are, you know, they can have 2-3 children there. And the Uyghurs are, you know, going through birth control, as I've said before. So all these problems in Eastern Turkestan has turned the Uyghurs into a hopeless, frustrated, and desperate situation. Hopelessness can lead to violence. The reason for Eastern Turkestan's violence since the 1990s is that's the main reason of the Chinese oppression, cultural assimilation, ecological destruction, and then economic exploitation. And the racial discrimination policies have turned Eastern Turkestan has thrown Eastern Turkestan into a turmoil. The main reason behind all this turmoil is the unjust rule of the Chinese Communist Party in that country.
Protests in Urumqi striked with the scale, with the number of people involved. But despite that scale, little is known about the roots of the problem. It's almost unknown to Western media, especially given the mass coverage of events in Tibet, for example. What's the reason that Uyghur case is of the struggle for human and cultural rights is so neglected?
Yeah, the problem is, a long time ago, a journalist, a Western American journalist friend of mine, asked me, I said, Erkin, why Tibet receives so much, you know, publication and publicity and you guys not? And he answered the question himself. He said, because you are Muslims. Buddhism and Christianity never came into conflict, but Islam and Christianity was always in conflict. This is one of the main reasons. And secondly, you don't have a charismatic leader like His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And these two things are, I assume he has a piece of right there when he says that, the American journalist friend of mine, and that might have been the main reason.